Welcome to the Real Python Podcast. This is episode 234. What are new ways we can teach and share our knowledge about Python? How can we improve the structure of our current offerings and build new educational resources for our audience of Python learners? This week on the show, Real Python core team members, Stephen Gruppetta and Martin Broyce, join us to discuss enhancements to the site and new ways to learn Python. Stephen joined the team recently and brought his years of online training expertise. He discusses a new offering of cohort-based courses, which combine live expert instruction, hands-on exercises, and a supportive community. Martin has been busy leading the effort to create quizzes for our written tutorials to test your knowledge and Python skills. He's also restructuring the learning paths to provide a more consistent way to navigate your journey learning Python. Stephen is currently working on new Real Python books. These books will be collections of our tutorials based around a specific Python topic, edited to provide a structured learning experience. The first book, based on object-oriented programming in Python, will be available in the next few months. This episode is sponsored by Sentry. At Sentry, we don't just build tools. We use them to debug our trickiest slowdowns. Hear the whole story later in the episode and find others like it at blog.sentry.io. All right, let's get started. The Real Python Podcast is a weekly conversation about using Python in the real world. My name is Christopher Bailey, your host. Each week, we feature interviews with experts in the community and discussions about the topics, articles, and courses found at realpython.com. After the podcast, join us and learn real-world Python skills with a community of experts at realpython.com. All right. Well, it's a new year. Welcome to 2025. And I brought a couple of Real Python core team members with me, a couple of people you've seen on the show before. Martin, we haven't seen you in a while.
Hi.
Welcome back to the show, Martin Broyce.
Thanks.
Stephen, you were recently on the show as a guest talking about your books and some of the other stuff that you're doing, and you became a core team member, and we're very excited to have you here.
Thank you. Yes, indeed.
So maybe we could discuss just briefly, what have you been up to, Stephen? Like, what are some of the things you've been doing for Real Python now?
Yeah, so I've joined in September, so it's still new in some ways, but then lots of stuff has happened already. And I'm mostly working on a couple of projects. So one of them is to create cohort-based courses, which is something which is new for Real Python. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that. And then I've been working on getting some of the tutorials we have, put them together as a theme, and then get books out of them. So those are the two main projects I've been working on in the past few months and over the coming months as well.
Yeah. We're excited for all of us to dig into that material a little bit more, talk a little bit more. And then you also did a couple of video courses for us. So we appreciate that, especially me and Tappan on the video side. So, Martin, you've been doing a few things and we're going to kind of dive into some details there recently. But what are some changes for you here at Real Python?
Yeah. So this year, I've kind of, as a project, aside from the usual things that I do, I've kind of focused on trying to work on the learning paths at Real Python and get those into a different shape, let's say like that. Yeah, and we'll talk about that more. I'm excited to present a bit the ideas behind it and where we're going with that.
Yeah.
And also continued working on quizzes and building out that part on the side a bit more. These are the bigger projects on the side.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you both have been doing some writing, I think, too. And so that's exciting to see. And the whole process that we talk about a lot, about the whole editorial process of like reviewing each other's work and going through all the different passes. And I've talked to this at length with Gerarna and almost every year end wrap up kind of thing. But this is a little different. We're talking kind of going into the future, like what 2025 is going to hold. There's going to be a lot of new stuff you're going to see on the site. You might have seen some of that work already. A lot of new faces. We had another call for people who are interested in writing for us or doing video courses. And we've probably seen a few of those if you've been watching the site. And if you haven't, come back. Please watch the site. Check out what our new content is. Joseph is a new person that we have, and Emmanuel is another video course creator, and Nagar, a bunch of new people there. So I'm excited to see them. Sorry if I haven't gotten everybody's name there, and some new authors. I don't know if you guys have some names that people can shout out there.
Well, Philip's been doing a great job at working with onboarding a lot of these people.
Yeah.
And giving them their first touch with real Python. And then, yeah, so that's another thing we've been working on, working with people that we call pilots that just get started and do their first content piece with real Python, which is quite a process because we have a lot of feedback always for everyone and a lot of rounds of feedback often, especially if you're doing your first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's another big thing we've been working on that takes up time and hopefully broadens the spectrum of like content that we and voices that we can actually show on the site.
Yeah. And somebody kind of behind the scenes of all of that, we have a new, I want to call her the editor in chief. She's been doing a lot of our editing and helping with transcripts and doing all that sort of stuff. So shout out to Brenda, who came on this year and has been doing an amazing job. So thanks for that. And yeah, so a lot of stuff kind of behind the scenes has been really fun to watch. And stay tuned. A lot of great content coming, especially there. And so let's dive into some of these new ideas, if you will, for Real Python. And I think the one that intrigues me the most is something that we haven't done at all in this vein. Some of the others are little modifications of what we do and improvements, but cohort-based courses is totally new. And I don't know if you want to talk about, you've done some of this, so it's kind of nice to have you come in and be a bit of our expert on this idea, Stephen. So tell us about what's happening.
Yeah, so I think people who know Real Python know mostly the written tutorials, the video courses, and up until now, it's always been self-led, and that's a great way to learn. Many people love self-learning, but sometimes you want a bit more structure, and that's where an instructor-led course can come useful, either for those who prefer to be guided and led, or sometimes you reach a point in your learning where self-learning has worked well until a certain point, but then you sort of hit a roadblock and that's where you need some guidance. So this is exciting because it's brand new for Real Python. It's a structured course led by an instructor. I'll be running the first courses, but just like everything else we do, other people will get involved. You know, there isn't one person writing articles and one person doing video courses. There won't be one person doing these cohort courses either. And the idea behind them is to find a compromise. So there's a live component to it, but they are not entirely live courses because people are busy. They have other things. They have jobs and families. And
right.
So we wanted to find a format that is flexible. So you have some of it is self-led. The curriculum has its own content. So it's not self-led in the sense you do whatever you want, whenever you want. But within the day, you can fit it in the morning before breakfast or in a lunch break, or it also fits different time zones. So every day you have a material for the day. Most days, this is curated content from what we already have at Real Python, the written tutorials and the video courses. But then you have live sessions as well. So once a week, there is a proper sort of 90-minute structured live session. These are small cohorts, right? 10 students maximum, so that we can chat and discuss. And that interaction with a live person is what sort of distinguishes this from being entirely self-led. That's not all. We then also have a forum exclusive for the cohort. And that's where every day the discussion will carry on. So students would be learning the day's material in their own time, but then coming on the forum, discussing with me or the instructors, other students. And that's such an important part because you're never alone. You always have someone to ask questions to. And then we have also sort of drop-in Q&A. So there are live components throughout the week, as well as material that students can do in their own time. And then the forum glues everything together. And I think it's a format that gets the best of both worlds. You know, people are not stuck having to do live sessions every day at a certain time, but then you have the live component. You have that guidance that you get from an instructor to guide you through the course.
So when it's live, there's a lot more interaction. People can ask questions and get involved. We've had office hours for a long time as a feature, something that we don't really discuss much, but David Amos started that a long time ago for us. Are there differences in there of how you're approaching that component?
So yes and no. So the idea is that every week of the course, there will be three live sessions. One of them is a key part of the course. So on a Thursday, instead of going through material in your own time, there's going to be a live 90-minute session. And this is where we dive deeper into the week's materials, explore sort of the behind the scenes. This first course we're running, I'll say more about it in a bit, is very much a behind the scenes of Python, sort of digging underneath the surface.
Okay.
So the live session will help us do that, work on exercises together as a group in a live session. And of course, students can ask questions. But then there are, in addition to this one session a week, there are two drop-in Q&A sessions where students can drop in, ask questions, and those are less structured. So there's no structure pre-planned. Students come in, ask whatever questions they want on the week's topic, of course, not on the weather. We may be able to help with that. But and then the discussion will take its own part depending on what students ask and the conversation. So one session a week is very structured, but then the other two are very much an open forum, similar to the office hours, but exclusive for the cohort that we have.
I think for some people that are learning, it helps to have, it's almost like exercise in a way, accountability to keep going, to have a schedule. Is that something you found in doing courses yourself?
That's an important part of it, yes. So as you mentioned, I've done similar courses in the past. And yes, some people can learn by themselves, but they know that after a day or two, life gets in the way. Whereas if you have a cohort, you have two things. You have an instructor who's keeping you on your toes, because I'll be every day logging onto the forum, even when we have no live sessions, I'll be on the forum checking on everyone. And that puts a bit of, well, I'm going to say pressure, you know, accountability, positive pressure for people to think, oh,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Social pressure.
let me get my work done. We're asking people sort of for a 60 to 90 minute commitment every day. So it's not several hours a day, but on the other hand, you need to fit in those 60 to 90 minutes, otherwise you won't progress. But also, and we heard this from, as we chatted to people, some of the Real Bible Python members, as we sort of were setting this up, some people mentioned that having other students also puts a bit of accountability there, because you know that
Sure. You
don't want to let the rest of the group down. You know, you want to keep up and join into the conversations. So I think having an instructor guiding you and prodding you along, but also having other students who are starting on the same day as you and progressing at the same pace as you helps a lot as well.
So I guess maybe we could dive into some details about it. Not all of it worked out, and that's partly why you've talked into our own community and having these sort of sessions to learn what people are looking for and what's going to work for them and so forth. But yeah, what are some of the details, like length and
yes,
stuff like that?
It is all worked out now, so
okay,
yes, we've been working. So
yeah,
so it's all worked out. In fact, we'll put the link in the show notes so that people can click on the link and read more and find out more if they're interested. But yes, you're right. Over the last few months, I brought in some of my experience from what I've done previously. We've discussed it a lot internally, but we've also had chats with sort of a sample of people within the Real Python community to find out what they want. And this is not just a single course. So moving on this year, we plan to run not just this course several times, but also other courses covering different parts of Python. So I'll talk about this first course that's going to start in a few weeks' time, but there will be others covering different topics. This one in particular, so it's an 8-week course. Every weekday, there's something happening. So it's a full-on course, but people can fit it in, as we said, along with other things that they're doing. And this particular course is focusing on the intermediate level Python. Now,
Okay. These
terms don't mean anything, right? What's intermediate for you or for me? So I'll add a bit more on what I mean by intermediate. So this is not a beginner's course. We'll assume that people are comfortable with their loops and their if statements and defining functions and sort of they know how to get around the fundamentals of Python. But often when you get to what comes next, that's where I've found in the past, and I know others who teach have found the same thing. People, you know, hit a barrier when they want to go a bit deeper. And this course is starting to look at digging underneath the surface of Python.
Okay.
We'll start with a review of object-oriented programming. We'll assume some people will know that already, but we'll review it anyway. But we're then going to use OOP as a way of diving into other parts of Python. So we're going to look at the special methods, these dunder methods that are so key to Python. And we're going to use them to, for example, we'll look at the dunder methods that are linked to iteration and how to create iterables and iterators. And then that leads us into the iterator protocol and how to do what we call Pythonic looping. And then we might look at the special methods that help you create certain types of data types, sequences or mappings. And therefore, we can then go down the data type routes and discuss a bit more intermediate level data types. So it starts with OOP, but then it sort of branches out into Pythonic iteration, intermediate data types. We'll dive into functions as well. So these are the core topics, but well beyond the basics. So it's not a Python 101 course.
Yeah, it's great. That's the common stuff that we cover on the podcast. We cover some beginner stuff, but often it's trying to find resources for people that are in that middle state. And then occasionally we'll hit some advanced things. So that sounds good.
And often that's where many learners will benefit more from that interaction with an instructor who can guide them through it.
Yeah, yeah.
Throughout the 8 weeks, I'll also mention this before I forget, there are lots of exercises throughout. So this is not just passive learning. There's going to be lots of exercises, and that's where the forum comes in, because then the students on the course can jump on the forum and we can work together as a group on the exercises. But the final 2 weeks of the course, so it's an 8-week course. The first 6 weeks are covering these core topics. The final 2 weeks is a project. So we're going to have a project that we work together as a group. Every day we do a tiny bit of it. And as you can imagine, the project will use most of the knowledge that we've covered in the previous 6 weeks. So then there's that hands-on sort of end of course project, which brings everything to life.
Stephen, I have a quick question. Are you building one project as a group, or is everyone individually building a project?
We are building one project as a group.
Oh, fun.
And the idea is that we can all then work together. So the project has been split into 10 units, one per day for the final 2 weeks, 5 days per week. And therefore, every day on the forum, there'll be, this is what we're trying to do today. The students will try to do it themselves. We'll have discussions on the forum. So then collaboratively, people can share their solutions, share their problems. And by the end of the day, we will have a solution for that unit. And then we'll carry on adding to the project the following day, et cetera, et cetera. So everyone will work on the same project. Of course, some students will want to customize their project and take it in different directions. And that's great. We'll encourage that. But as a group, we'll all be working on one project so that we can actually learn from each other as a group.
So what is the plans for the first?
So starting in February, so only a few weeks away, the cohort only has 10 students. So we want to keep it small, because the interaction between instructor and students and the students themselves is a really important part of this type of learning. And that's going to be an 8-week course. So that's the first one that's already out there, and we'll share the link. But as I've mentioned, throughout this year, we're going to have different topics. So there will be courses similar in format to this one, but covering different aspects of Python. Some may be more geared for beginners, some may be more geared for certain specific areas. And in fact, we welcome people telling us what they would like to see, what topics they'd like to see, and then we'll use the expertise we have in the core team in Real Python to create different curriculum for different areas of Python.
Yeah, yeah. That's exciting. Yeah, I there's lots of areas that are sort of deep dive areas that I feel like maybe having someone's input and you being able to ask questions about things can really get your feet under you better than just constantly researching. The idea of doing is a big part of it too, which I think is exciting. Mm.
And that's the plan. I think the plan here is to have a structured course and to put in structure to the material that we already have at Real Python, plus a real person helping you out.
Nice. Anything else you want to mention about it?
I think I've ticked all the boxes there. So yeah.
All right, good. We'll talk about it more, I know, coming up. I definitely want to keep this attention toward it, because it is something brand new for us, and I'm excited to see where it goes, and maybe we'll have you come back on and we'll talk more about it. I know we'll talk about the other one also more as we go.
Seems like it could fill an episode.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Just talking about courses easily.
And if any of your listeners are interested and they're not sure whether this is the course for them, they can get in touch with me and we can find out together.
Yeah. And again, lots of links in the show notes this week about all this new stuff we're talking about. This week's sponsor is Sentry. At Sentry, we hit a 2-second slowdown in our API response times. Here's how we dug deep and fixed it fast. While monitoring Sentry's backend, we noticed our P99 response time meaning the slowest 1% of requests, had spiked to over 2 seconds. Starting from our trace view, we discovered our rate limit middleware was the culprit. With our profiling tools, we were able to trace the issue to a classic cold start problem. Luckily, the fix was relatively straightforward. We adjusted our configuration to warm up our servers ahead of time, and our P99 latency dropped to 176 milliseconds, a win in our book. At Sentry, we don't just build tools, we use them to debug our trickiest slowdowns. Read the whole story and others like it at blog.sentry.io. So you mentioned this, Martin, briefly in your introduction there as we were talking about it. We've had learning paths for a long time.
Yeah.
And I feel that they've needed some reworking, partly because it's hard to have a catch-all for all the things that we've created across time. And we make a variety of content. You know, we make not only just written stuff, but we make courses based on the written stuff. And then we created books and things like that. So let's talk about it. Like, what is the idea behind, maybe the original idea behind a learning path? And then how did you look at how to restructure it?
Yeah, so I mean, Stephen was just mentioning this idea of structured learning. And I think this is somewhat like also was at the core of what I was thinking about with this learning path, because we do have all these great resources at RealPython, but they all kind of like live, like you said, we did have learning paths already in the past, but in the end, we publish something and it's out there and it joins this big pool of great resources that we have, but they're all equal to each other, more or less.
Yeah.
So we have this search that works pretty well to find what you're looking for, if you know what you're looking for. But if you don't know what you're looking for, then you're presented with a sea of Python educational content that you can swim in, and you don't necessarily know where to go. The idea with learning paths, I think, is to do something similar that the cohort-based courses do, which is giving you a direction to move through all of that content in a way that is beneficial for yourself, so that you know, get to whatever point it is that you're trying to get to. And those are going to be different points for different people, right? Of course, this one doesn't have a live component. This is like kind of like, how can we bake this into the site itself?
Yeah, yeah.
So that the people that are doing this on an entirely self-paced way, you know, can find their way around as well and can find a direction. I've always found it interesting how RealPython, from my perspective, like I've seen and worked with a couple of online educational companies, and I always had the feeling that RealPython has this somewhat unique aspect that we do have self-standing learning units.
Yeah.
A lot of them that we publish on a weekly basis, right? And you can't just consume them by themselves. You can take this bite-sized piece of information, learn it, and you're done. And then you can take a different one. And they're not necessarily connected. And that is, in a way, this is a strength. It allows you to just pick something that you're interested in and learn from that.
Right.
And it gives us a chance to cover a lot of topics. But and then it also has the drawback that, like I mentioned, you may get lost or you don't know where to go if you're looking for this structure. That's what I've been thinking about. How can we take all this great content that we have and how can we arrange it in a way and present it in a way so that people get this experience of going through a structured path without us needing to change what we're good at, you know, because creating this self-standing learning units, I think, is what we're good at and what we've been doing. And we want to continue doing that. But at the same time, how can we provide this direction? Like, how can we offset the disadvantage that we have from that, you know, and just focus on the strengths that it brings?
The what's next of the whole thing, because in the sense that that's not going to be the same for every learner.
Exactly. Yeah.
They don't have the same desires, but we can at least aim them in a direction that makes sense and give them, like, you know, these are paths, some may, you know, branch in a way, and you may pick and choose from there what makes sense. Oh, I already know this idea, but I don't have this idea. So,
and we had the Python basics learning path, right? This is something that we did, that we finished last year, I think, all the way.
Yeah.
And that our idea with this path was similar, but it was like, so you don't know Python yet, and we don't want people who don't know Python yet to be completely lost with this offering, right? So it was like, let's take people who are just getting started by the hand, give them a structured learning path to get to a point where then they can pick and choose what they're interested in and continue their learning. And in a way, improving the learning paths has been a step on top of that. Like, the Python basics learning path is still at the beginning, right? If you want to get started, this is where you get started.
Yeah.
And then over this year, we're going to continue to build out a Python core language track is what we're calling it at the moment, that starts with Python basics learning path, where you can start from the very beginning, but then it takes you in a structured way through the whole Python language. My approach, because you asked before, we had learning paths before, what's the difference, right?
Yeah. So what's new about it?
The new thing is, like, essentially we added a new layer on top of it, a higher level structure, which we're calling career tracks. These are structuring learning paths. So these are a collection of learning paths that give you a direction to go through to actually go in depth on a topic, because you don't just learn web development from one learning path or Python to be more in the present, because this is what we've built out so far. We're working on the core Python language, and you don't just learn that from one learning path, because there's just so many things to learn, and there's also so many resources that we have and that we're still building.
Yeah. Yeah, as I talk about it often on the show, like, there's so many different things you can do with Python and different areas you could kind of dig into. So it makes sense that potentially with the term career in there, it's giving kind of a unique directionality to say, like, okay, is this what you're doing with Python, the sort of doing career kind of idea or want to do? And then we're going to lead you in that direction, as opposed to basic, intermediate, or advanced, which I think is good.
Yeah, I guess I stepped a little bit ahead of myself, because we don't have a career track that focuses on a job position yet, even though that's the idea of that we want to move towards.
Yeah, but I mean, generality, like, you know, data science versus potentially other types of web design or something like that.
That's what we're trying to move into. But at this point, like, what we have is like a really in-depth curriculum for learning the Python language.
Okay.
And this is it still goes the path from, like, this is where you start, this is the foundational concepts, and then you move towards more expert ones. But the format that I was using for this is something that we want to expand also then towards where at the end is, this is a job position, and this is all the things that you need in order to be able to confidently apply for a position, you know, that you know I've actually covered what I need to be a beginner data scientist, let's say. So that's the direction I want to move it into.
Okay. How's that going so far?
Well, so far, like I mentioned, we have this Python career track that's the core language that we have live on the site now. Like, if you go to the learning paths site, where we used to have this collection of different learning paths that take you a couple steps of the way, you now have a structure that starts with Python basics and goes all the way to advanced Python with a lot. I think we have got twice as many learning paths than we had last year. And a lot of resources are revamped in there and are swapped out or, like, replaced with new ones. And now we're actively working on filling the gaps of, like, content that I want to be in there for this learning path to be actually comprehensive.
Okay.
That we currently maybe don't have yet, because there was a gap in. No one has written about it yet here. So I have a big plan for this career track, basically, well, everything that should be in there. And a lot of it is there, and the rest we're working on creating, basically.
So what are the types of things that people see, the real Python actual content that they would see as steps along the path? What types of material?
Okay, so if you go to the learning paths page, what you're going to see is a collection of learning paths, right?
Sure.
That are structured in a beginner, intermediate, and advanced sections. And within those sections, they're structured according to, you know, you just start with the first one, you go to the next one, you get to the next one, etc. And then within each learning path, a learning path contains a collection of resources, which are courses or tutorials or quizzes.
Okay.
Or learning units that we have on there, also podcast episodes sometimes. So this is just a way for you to work through. Am I answering your question, or did I misunderstand?
Yeah, that's the part I was wondering about, like, because okay. that was something new. You know, we're going to talk about quizzes more here in a minute, but that's something you've been working pretty passionately on for the last year and a half or 2 years.
Yeah.
And adding those, we added, like, for the Real Python Basics one, we did a whole set of, like, exercise courses that kind of went with stuff, mm-hmm. which we're still figuring out and experimenting with and how to do even more of that. The quizzes are kind of attached to that. The backcast thing was brand new. I had just realized that we had done that. This is the idea that it's a menu, if you will, with several different courses on it that you can kind of take from it. You know, be it, okay, I'm more interested in written stuff, or I want a video course. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's the associated quiz with that. And then I can kind of move down along with that. So depending on how much you want to invest your time into on, you know, particular things. That's what's been fun about video courses, is generally that they're very focused. Sometimes they're almost distilled in a way. And then the written thing maybe has even more additional resources.
Yeah.
And we always try to include links out to learn more, be it the Python docs or be it our own materials, sort of next steps and so forth. Am I hitting the types of things?
And the video courses always have an attached, or nearly always have an attached tutorial to them.
Yeah.
So where, like Chris said, where you can then go and dive deeper if you want to.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see all the different things we kind of create there. How much is live right now? I mean, we're recording this early, but this is coming out at the beginning of January here.
The Python core language learning path is live. We're going to continue adding resources there. But the state that it's currently in, you can start from not knowing Python and you can go very deep up to C Python extensions, etc. So we have a lot of content and we've already created some missing pieces. And we're just going to continue doing that. But the way it stands now, I think you can learn Python to a very, how do you say, deep degree.
Yeah.
In depth. You can learn Python very in depth, which is the point.
Yeah. This week, I want to shine a spotlight on another RealPython video course. Dealing with errors and exceptional situations is a common requirement in programming, and you can either prevent errors before they happen or handle errors after they've happened. In general, you got two coding styles matching these strategies. Look before you leap, which is abbreviated LBYL, and easier to ask forgiveness than permission, or EAFP. This course dives into these two techniques, and it's titled Handling or Preventing Errors in Python, LBYL versus EAFP. And the course is based on a tutorial by Leodonis Pozo Ramos, and your instructor, Joseph Piert, takes you through how to use both the LBYL and EAFP styles in your Python code, understanding the pros and cons of both LBYL and EAFP, how to decide when to use either one, and how to avoid the pitfalls of each style. Like all the video courses on RealPython, this course is broken into easily consumable sections. Plus, you'll get additional resources and, where needed, code examples for the techniques shown. All of our course lessons have a transcript, including closed captions. Check out the video course. You can find a link in the show notes, or you can find it using the enhanced search tool on realpython.com. Something that RealPython's done across time that I've worked for RealPython over 5 years now, we have talked about books. And I think it almost sort of started with Dan's book, Python Tricks, which is something that kind of got him into the bug of like, well, I really want to do more and more with this. And then David Amos and there's a whole bunch of people that were involved in the Python Basics book. And then we did a book about C Python internals. We've had them at our conferences that we've attended and so forth.
Yeah.
The idea that you're bringing up is something that has been floating in the background for a long time, that we have a lot of long form written content, but some people really love books. They really want to have it in this sort of organized manner. And so what's the idea here behind this next generation of RealPython books?
Yeah, there'll be lots more books coming up. So this carries on with the theme. In fact, you know, Martin mentioned this. The theme here is providing more structure because having self-learning is great. You can pick and choose whatever tutorials or video courses you want. I've often found in the past when people are learning that you don't know what you don't know. And what I mean by that is that you might pick certain tutorials, but you will always have certain topics that you don't know you need them until you learn them. And then you realize, ah, now I know this. And I think that's what structure can bring. And the books do a bit the same thing. So the plan is to pick certain topics and to find the resources that we already have on RealPython, the written tutorials, and edit them. So not just take the tutorials and paste them one after the other, but sort of take that content and merge it into a cohesive book so that you have the definitive book about. Now, the first one is going to be object-oriented programming. I don't know whether you've ever mentioned this on the podcast, Chris, but you know everything is an object in Python.
I don't have a sound effect. That's Trudeau's thing.
There we go. That's just to show you I listen every week.
That's great.
So this book is all about that, of course, right? And it's picking up several tutorials about object-oriented programming that already exist in RealPython and merging them with some editing into a book that takes you from the beginning to sort of intermediate. And yeah, of course, it doesn't cover everything possibly in OOP, no book does. And the idea is to, this is one, but every few months, we'll pick a different topic within Python, find the tutorials that we already have, bring them together into a cohesive book.
Make a story.
Indeed, indeed. The idea is to provide that structure. So if someone wants to cover OOP from beginning to end, so to speak, yes, they can go and sort of pick random tutorials, and you can do that if you want, sort of forge your own path. But here you have a book which is sort of guiding you in the right order. And by right, I mean, you know, whatever the editor chooses. There's no one way of covering things, but you have a curated path that's been chosen for you. Start from here, then move on to this, move on to this, move on to that. And the idea is to pick different topics, and every few months we'll have a book on a certain topic. Object-oriented programming is the first one. We don't quite have a date yet, but it's imminent. So anytime now, the pre-release will definitely be out, and then the final version should be out within a few weeks.
Yeah, we're mentioning a lot of things that are kind of new. The two things that you're mentioning, Stephen, would be outside of our normal sort of free or our subscription sort of offerings. And so we're not digging into pricing today, but we'll, you know, definitely check the site. We'll have that sort of information as we go. Availability, again, that's something I'll definitely mention as these things come along, just to make sure that people know that, hey, the stuff that we talked about earlier is available. So you definitely can watch the website. We'll definitely mention it. Sign up for our newsletters and things like that. That's another way to get this information, or listen to the show. I'll try to make sure that we continue on there. Are there other things you want to mention about the books or how it's going?
It's been fun. So again, I've been sort of leading on this project up until now, but as everything we do in RealPython, different people will sort of come in. It's been fun editing the book on OOP. It gave me an opportunity to sort of dive into lots of tutorials, and I quite enjoy sort of doing that editing stuff, sort of taking a bit from this tutorial and merging it with a bit from another tutorial. So it's been a fun process. I've also learned one or two things along the way, certain bits of OOP that interesting for me to read as well. So as always, we're always learning as well as we do all of this.
It's currently in my court, actually. I'm doing a review for Stephen, as like with everything that we make at RealPython, there's always a bunch of people looking at it. So Stephen's finished the first version and handed it over to me. And I'm currently, I guess when this episode comes out, I'm already going to be done. But yeah, I'm reading over it to provide my first review for it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's fun. I've also already learned things. That's just how it goes. You know, you can't know everything. And then so it's nice to get a book that has a certain shape and has a start and has an end, and is going to tell me things that I partly know and partly don't.
Yeah. There's a couple of things that are really cool that you're mentioning there. One being the just something that has always been unique about RealPython, that it is an entire team. You know, we call ourselves the core team or whatever, and that we kind of have interesting overlapping, but it's not a single person looking at something. And so there's a lot of input, a lot of thought goes into every step along the path to create stuff. And that's true of these things that we're talking about too. And so there are other resources that are out there that are singular voice types of things and can be opinionated in a way that, I won't say they're blind spots, but you know, as we're mentioning here, you know, there's this extra input helps to give you a wider view of the topic, and hopefully will wake up different things that you're like, oh, I didn't know that we could do this with that. So very fun.
You mentioned this earlier, Chris, but it's worth mentioning again that so much happens behind the scenes with every video course, every tutorial, everything you see on the, you know, on the webpage when you go through your Python. There's so much reviewing and editing, and as you say, sort of so much interaction between the core team members or even with external authors and instructors. So there's a lot that happens behind the scene to give you the words you read and the courses you watch.
I something that I want to champion, and I've been trying to push Dan toward this a little bit, is I want RealPython as a site to be more of a destination, a place that you check out, well, what's happening at RealPython? What are they up to now and what's changing? And I do a lot of shout outs to different things on the show. We highlight different articles and things that we're putting out, you know, through what is popular through PyCoders, but also just kind of what's happening there. But I think a lot of these things I hope will help create this sort of destination thing where you like kind of check what's happening. A lot of stuff is based around search. And I feel like that's always a challenge, you know, like how often are you truly searching for things as opposed to like the sites that I love on the internet. I just will open the site and just see kind of what's going on. And we're doing a lot of updates and refreshing of things. And I think people might be surprised by all the different content that's there, and definitely learn a little more about the courses if they'd be a good fit for you. Please check out the learning paths, because I think that's something that is very interesting, because very often you might be stuck in a rut and not know what the next step is. And then I think the books, there are a subset of people that books are the way they learn and that they're the most comfortable with. And I think that's going to be really fun.
There's the forum as well, that's for members of Real Python. And I think, again, this year, we're probably going to see a bit more, you know, I think there's a lot more we can do to sort of have conversations with the community in the forum for members. So that's another place to interact with Python and Pythonistas.
Yeah, if you haven't been, you know, if you're a member, please check that out. That's another really great feature. And the activity there has been really interesting. There's a lot more, you know, kind of voices, and it's definitely a place to bubble up lots of other conversations about stuff that you're interested in, and have people check out your code or projects and things you're doing. So this last thing that we wanted to dig into about quizzes, this is something that we've been doing for a while, and it's something that you've definitely been championing, Martin. What's going on with all the quizzes that we have? And again, this is another one where I'm like, if you read an article recently or you read on a topic and you're kind of wanting to practice your skills, it's something that you could take a quiz in advance, or, you know, take a quiz on something that you thought you knew in the past and are wondering about it. So I think it's another nice resource there. Yeah, what's going on there?
So I guess, like you said, quizzes are just another learning tool. Just another learning tool. TM. I just trademarked it for me. Yeah, but we do want to provide, you know, a breadth of different ways to approach a topic. That's why we have video courses and tutorials and a podcast and also quizzes, right? So, and I like the idea of having quizzes. With quizzes, you kind of get the chance to check your knowledge, you know, is that whether you take it before you read through a tutorial or whether you do it after, you kind of get an idea of like what state behind, and you switch perspective from being someone who maybe just passively consumes it by reading it to you kind of like prompted to actually do something. You know, I mean, maybe it's just a small interaction of selecting one of the answer choices, right? Or maybe it is actually a code question where you need to type a little bit of code and then run it to see whether the tests pass on it. But it kind of like shifts you from, it gets you off the seat. Like you have to do something, you know? Yeah. So I like that aspect of quizzes. It moves you a bit towards activity in your learning. And I'm sure like a lot of people who go through a tutorial actually code along on the side, which is definitely what I suggest you to do. And if you do a course, right, this is how you're going to learn it. It's always through the doing that you learn it.
Yeah.
But sometimes maybe you're not on your computer. Maybe you're, I don't know, commuting to work or something, and you're reading a real Python tutorial, and then you get a chance to still be a little bit active by going through a quiz. It's just another learning tool. Like I said, I like having them on there, and we've definitely committed to producing more quizzes over the past year. And so at this point, we're more or less publishing a quiz for every new article that comes out. And we're also working through the backlog of old tutorials that we have before we started focusing more on quizzes, and try to provide a quiz with every tutorial that we have. Yeah, maybe that's interesting to mention. Like I say tutorial, and that's what we're basing the quizzes on.
Yeah.
We're also including them in the video courses though. So we do have this as a lesson on the video course. We're also providing those quizzes. The video courses don't always entirely cover the content of the tutorials. So that's something to be aware of. Maybe that's worth a shout out here, I think. Like you might bump into a question that you haven't covered in the course, right?
Yeah.
But for me, at least, the idea of a quiz is really, it's not... Like you can check up on your knowledge, but the main idea is to get you active and to give you another way of learning something. So if there's something, if there's a question that you don't...
The score is not going to stay with you and be part of your permanent record. Yeah. See, you're welcome to experiment with it. It's not like something where you need to really gamify it. The idea is that you can use it as a tool to bounce things off of.
And, yeah. there's no benefit of passing aside from...
Yeah, it's just for your own thing.
The interaction that you got with the quiz. Yeah,
that's cool.
And there's always a hint or an explanation in there in the quiz too. And the explanation... So if you get a question wrong, or maybe it wasn't covered in the course, but you want to know more about it, in the explanation there's always a link that links you back to the specific section in the tutorial where the topic is covered. So you can do that.
Martin, you mentioned that people can do the quiz either before or after the tutorial, but they can actually do it both. And that's usually a good way to see how much you've learned by sort of comparing your performance in the quiz before you've read the tutorial or watched the video course, and then the quiz afterwards. Mm-hmm. And that's it gives you a sort of a rough metric of how much you've absorbed the information in the tutorial or course.
Right. That's a good way of using it, yeah.
So yeah, it's exciting to see them appear alongside. Again, you mentioned the video courses. That's one of my main focuses is for the site, along with doing the podcast, is making sure the video courses are up to our quality standards and so forth. But also, I encourage our instructors to explain things in different ways if it helps. And so very often there'll be different tangents or potentially examples that person will use, either live coding or whatever, in front of someone to show, you know, what's happening. Video is a different format and you teach it slightly different than you teach in a written way. So it can be very useful to go back and look at the written tutorial to see what's different or what additional materials there. Sometimes, you know, we have some really long articles, and that's definitely my experience. Like the decorator video course that I did early on, I called it the 101 because I just couldn't fit it all in there without it being like a 3-hour course, and it already was pretty long. Or the type checking. We're always trying to update things as we go, and that's something that is a focus that I'm going to try over the next year. I didn't talk about that yet, but everything's moving very, very fast with the Python versions changing every single year. It's making that even more of a challenge for us, and your libraries change and so forth. So we understand the need to keep things up to date and the demand for that. We're trying to answer as we can. Mm-hmm. You know, you can definitely give us the pressure, hopefully friendly pressure, to say, hey, could you update this? This looks like, you know, something I'm interested in. One thing we're doing in the video courses pretty often is trying to mention the versions of the different tools and stuff that are used on it, which may, in the case of when you create a mountain of stuff that we have, some of it's going to be a little bit older. So please be understanding that we're really trying to do that as we move along. And also try to hit the new stuff that's coming along.
And we're also, for these updates, we're also working on ways that we can keep better track of which things may require updates, that it's not just dependent on getting feedback or reading in a title that it's Python 3.8 or something, you know?
Yeah.
But instead, like more proactively figuring out ways that we can keep track of the large amount of content that we have. By recording requirements that we use for a tutorial, for example, something we started doing, assigning responsibilities for certain tutorials, and then just getting it a habit to checking up on what needs updates, and also like running some tools that figure out whether something is outdated and might need, you know, a touch up.
Yeah.
So we're actively working on getting better at updates, I guess. Or like getting a better handle of all the content that we have.
Yeah, systematically approaching it. Yeah, we talked more about structure. Yeah, right back to that keyword. So I wanted to mention a couple things that are experiments. We're pushing them forward to check them out. One is a thing called Code Mentor that Dan is working pretty hard on. This is involving LLM type tools to, again, it's an experiment beta phase, but it can kind of help you explain code, do code review, give you practice projects. I'll include links for that if you'd like to check it out. But it's something that we're trying to figure out how this fits in and how this can be useful for our members.
Yeah, because we want to, you know, the main idea is that we want to provide as much of a variety of tools for effectively learning. And maybe that's a way that works and that fills a gap that we don't have. So we're experimenting with that as well. And it also gives you another way to slice through all the content that we have, because if you use this Code Mentor tool and ask it a question, it's going to give you related resources that we have on the site. if the language model finds out like you're struggling with writing your decorator correctly, then in the output, you're going to see a link to the decorator tutorial, which maybe you didn't know existed on the site, right? But then you're coming with your specific problem and you get a real Python human written in-depth tutorial as a response where you can look for more and read up on it.
Yeah.
So I think that's a nice feature that might help as well.
Yeah, I think about that in the sense that I mention this every time I talk about a video course, that people can find the video courses if they don't have the show notes in front of them, that they can just go to the search engine on on our site. And there's so many resources buried underneath there. So please use it. It's something that Dan definitely in the background is working on updating it and ways to surface it. You can filter it in lots of different ways. So again, finding content there.
And also learning paths should be helping with that, right? Like this is another way that's going to help you to discover resources that you may not have known of.
Cool. Yeah. And so one other thing that was mentioned as far as like new things that we're trying out, we're looking at code challenges as something that maybe will be coming up soon also. And so definitely stay tuned. There's lots of stuff happening at Real Python. There's always something new. Every week we're putting out a couple different written things. We're putting out a video course, a podcast to maintain our constant schedule of this stuff and updating things and keeping it fresh.
While at the same time, it feels that like every core team member at least is working on one or two projects on the side of like new improvements or new stuff.
So there's going to be more of the same, but also more new stuff.
More of more.
More and more.
Yeah, so we're excited about this new year of stuff that's coming in, and we're excited to hear what you think about it. Please let us know what you think, and that can be the feedback forms that we provide alongside all these different things. And you can also send me notes through the podcast if you want, podcast@realpython.com.
And we read the feedback and actually respond to it, just so you know, personally. I've responded to a lot of quiz feedback over the past year.
Yeah, you've been getting a lot of feedback there. I've been noticing it, which is good. Yeah, cool. I want to thank Stephen Grappetta for coming on the show, and it's really exciting to have you as part of our team, and you know, thanks for coming on.
It's been exciting to join, and I look forward to my next podcast episode.
Awesome. All right, and Martin, welcome back, and it was really fun talking to you again on the show.
Always fun.
All right.
Happy 2025.
Yeah. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah.
And don't forget our sponsor, Sentry. At Sentry, we don't just build tools. We use them to debug our trickiest slowdowns. Read more challenging debugging stories at blog.sentry.io. I want to thank Stephen and Martin for coming on the show this week. And I want to thank you for listening to the Real Python Podcast. Make sure that you click that follow button in your podcast player. And if you see a subscribe button somewhere, remember that the Real Python Podcast is free. If you like the show, please leave us a review. You can find show notes with links to all the topics we spoke about inside your podcast player or at realpython.com/podcast. And while you're there, you can leave us a question or a topic idea. I've been your host, Christopher Bailey, and I look forward to talking to you soon.